Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and welcome to this ASI cast. As we all know, online audience measurement is extremely complex. And 10 years ago, UK Online Measurement, UCOM, was established by the marketing community in the UK to set standards for online measurement across PCs, tablets, and smartphones. Now, with some new initiatives out to tender, Ian Dowds, UCOM's CEO, talks to Richard Marks about his future plans.
So, welcome to the podcast, Ian. And for the benefit of our listeners outside of the UK, but hopefully not too many of them inside it, can you give us your vision of what UCOM sets out to do and how it fits into the media currency landscape?
I can. Thank you, Richard, and thank you for inviting me to speak on your podcast. So UK Online Measurement, or UCOM, is the UK marketing industry coming together to set and govern the independent standard for UK online audience measurement across PC, tablet and smartphone. And our raison d'etre, if you like, is to give the industry confidence that amidst the noise of claim and overclaim and counterclaim of multiple businesses, some of whom are driven by self-interest, that there is a robust and objective view of what UK online audiences are doing across devices, what sites and apps they're visiting or cross-visiting, how often and how long they're actually spending consuming online content. Mm-hmm. So it's used by the UK industry, UCOM data is used by the UK industry to give a breakdown of demographic audience behaviour, so that publishers and advertisers and agencies can have a pretty clear view of how different segments of the UK population are behaving very differently with different devices, different publishers, and advertisers' own sites and apps across all categories.
It's used primarily as a planning currency, isn't it?
Yeah, so it is fair to say, I mean, you mentioned the question, trading currencies. We are very clearly more of a planning currency, if there is such a thing, than a trading currency, because unlike the likes of Barb, UCOM doesn't currently measure audiences of advertising campaigns. However, that could be about to change as the next evolution of UCOM has campaign audience verification very much part of the remit.
Now, UCOM recently celebrated its 10-year anniversary, which is quite scary to me, as I was vaguely involved in some of the preliminary meetings. With the benefit of hindsight, if you could get in a time machine and travel back a decade to when it was first set up, which I should point out is before your time, so yeah, you're absolved of any
responsibility.
You won't meet yourself and create a paradox. What advice would you give to those founding fathers after 10 years in terms of what they wanted to do, what they were setting out to do, and what's realistic and what's not?
Okay, well, You know them both, so I'm not sure you ever get to really give advice to the likes of Mark Crackers Cranmer or Douglas the Dundee Exocet MacArthur, his successor, the first chairman and current chairman. But I guess the main theme would have been to expect the unexpected. When UCOM first started, we were looking to measure only the audiences of websites with text and static pictures on PCs. And now, 10 years later, we have to contend with PCs, tablets, smartphones, the continual updates to both iOS and Android operating systems. We look at web, mobile web, in-app, text, pictures, video, audio. It's become a beast. And to be fair to them, they did a pretty good job of finding a model at the start that involved the entire industry and allowed UCOM to be flexible enough without actually going broke, continually having to find new funding for the measurement of new devices and content. And Richard Fohn at JicWebs talks consistently about the importance of pragmatism over idealism. And to be fair to the founding fathers of UCOM, I think on the whole, they got that balance pretty spot on.
Because there must be a danger, you know, particularly in the fast-moving world of online technology, that you're under pressure to measure something perhaps before it's been established whether that thing is going to be around. You could spend a lot of time working out how to measure something only to find it was a bit of a mayfly and disappeared. So is there a process for judging at what point you need to incorporate a new service or a new platform?
Originally, there was something in the UCOM contract about when a device that could go online reached 5% of UK penetration of building a capability to measure the audience of that device. The challenge has been that so many devices now are continually coming up and quickly reaching 5% and then disappearing, or who actually measures 5%, you know, whether it's voice activated devices, which again we'll cover about how we're looking to explore that in the next RFP, smart cars, smart fridges, wearables. There, it's not just about the numbers and the penetration, but about the commercial opportunity or the viability of paying for that measurement. I mean, before I worked at UCOM, which I've done now for 3 years, I spent 27 years buying and selling the stuff, and audience data was always there. And this is the first job where I've been in the weeds and seen exactly what it takes. The vast majority of the industry will assume that the data that UCOM endorses is free, and it comes, it's just there. What has been jaw-dropping to me is the complexity, the expense, the technology, the commercial reality, the political sensitivities of starting to measure new stuff. It's a very complex world.
Yeah, there can, of experiences, there can be this assumption that anything that digital, you just run around with a little butterfly net, capturing the zeros and the ones and report it, and that's it. How complicated?
Well,
can it
that perception itself has led to a lot of the distrust of digital measurement, and probably the very reason for UCOM's birth in the first place. The noise and the claim of what can be measured and that everything is measurable.
How do the big digital platforms like Facebook and Twitter's less walled garden, but how do they fit into the measurement? What's your objective with them? Is it to measure them as a platform, or perhaps beyond that?
Well, the fundamental raison d'etre of UCOM is to measure online audiences doing whatever they're doing. The current capabilities with ComScore and a combination of both people panels and census-based panels means that the people panels can pick up most activity across all platforms. When you want to look a little bit deeper than just top-line use, then you need to find an element of tagging or data from the census panels. Now, interestingly, Google and Facebook often get lumped together as being particularly uncooperative in terms of measurement, but YouTube for the last 18 months has been measured by a UCOM endorsed ComScore product, Videometrics Multiplatform, that has meant that there is an industry standard measurement for YouTube and YouTube channels in the UK. Facebook, as I say, can be measured in terms of the panel picking up usage, but there is no tagging within Facebook, there is no data passback within Facebook, so we can't go any deeper than that.
But you do have reach and frequency for Facebook as a platform.
We have reach and frequency for Facebook as a platform and time spent, and it can provide a foundation for insight, but it doesn't go any deeper than that. And Facebook, I mean, like everybody, we're in a constant ongoing dialogue with Facebook about changing that, but they've been relatively clear that they don't believe that the kind of data that UCOM produces is useful to their clients, which is interesting because ISBAR, who are one of our co-owners, say it would be very interesting. Who knows? As we maybe move into campaign audience verification, that conversation with Facebook may become a little bit more progressive.
You recently welcomed on board Isbar as a new board member. That seems significant, but in what way? What does that signify, Isbar becoming literally a board member as opposed to just a user?
More than a board member. So until 2017, UCOM was jointly and equally owned by the IAB and the AOP, the sell side. But we've always had representation on our board in an advisory capacity, in inverted commas, from ISBAR and IPA, the buy side. ISBAR showing their full commitment to UK industry standards and becoming joint co-owners of UCOM with IAB and AOP means that we can no longer be described only as a media-owned committee, a MOC, and having the guys whose money is actually at stake being fully invested in what UCOM does, that makes a massive statement to the UK market of the continued importance of independent measurement. There's a lot of noise whenever I go out and about the value of audience and data and what is and isn't relevant in today's automated landscape, where the option exists to target right down to individual level. But it's very, very hard for an agency or a media owner to say that what UCOM does is less relevant when the guys whose money is actually being spent have just made a clear statement to the contrary by becoming co-owners. It's a massive boost to us.
They've come on board at an interesting time because you are in the foothills. I'm not quite sure how far you are through, you'll know that, tell us, of a new tender process, which I assume ISBAR has been able to feed into from the start in terms of their aspirations for the survey. So what's the objective of that process, and what timeline are you working to?
So the objective is to perform, if you do perform, good governance. The objective is good governance. And it's to make sure that UCOM is continually aware of the best-in-class capabilities for audience measurement and is open to every capability that's available. So in terms of timeline, the new contract will start on 1st of January 2021. And having just passed the submission deadline last week, I expect a final decision announcement will be made by mid-July this year. And have we made any changes? Well, yes, we have. The RFP that went out on the 2nd of January covered what we do now. But following an industry consultation that we carried out across 2018, we're also looking to explore some new areas. And each one of these developments is important. But first of all, it's what we do now in terms of devices. Plus, we're interested in understanding capabilities around measuring the audiences online via smart televisions and voice-activated devices. So in terms of devices, what we do now, PCs, tablets and smartphones, plus smart TVs and voice-activated devices. In terms of content, we're interested in not just content that is consumed online, but with the growing tendency to download online and consume offline, we're interested in how businesses propose measuring online content consumed offline, podcasts, etc. And probably the biggest development is the fact that for the first time, UCOM is entering the world of ad campaign audience verification. So we talked earlier about being a planning currency. I planned on audience X, I bought a campaign, what percentage of my audience that I planned was delivered by that campaign? It's a big step.
It's pretty major,
but I have to be very clear because it makes some people nervous. We are not looking at UCOM getting into the measurement of ad viewability or brand safety around campaign measurement. But one of the things we are looking at evolving further is, in addition to demographic audiences, we're interested in what are the capabilities around measuring interest-based or category-based audiences, which is, takes us into a pretty complex area, because unlike demographics, there's no definitions or establishment surveys for an audience that is interested in travel or interested in finance or automotive. But it's something that came across loud and clear from the consultation about what the industry would like us to be involved in, and so we're going to.
You mentioned measuring connected TV sets, because virtually every device now has got some form of internet connection to it. There's a debate we often have at ASI around this, the tension between, on the one hand, measuring media and measuring platforms, and that has got implications for how currencies are organised. Because, you know, at one extreme, you could say, well, if the media based JICs, the ones that measure video, audio, newsprints, and magazines, are now moving online and measuring their media online, and a good example, we'll talk about that in a moment, is UCOM's involvement with PAMCO on the specifically on newsprints and magazines. But if on the one hand the media-based JICs are measuring online, on the other hand the walled gardens have got their own data silos, is what's left for UCOM to measure in the future?
Well, it's a very interesting question, and one that is asked fairly regularly. But first of all, I'd say that all the other UK JICs are measuring audiences of content that are bound by the borders of its transmission or its print run within the United Kingdom. And UCOM is measuring UK audience consumption of content that is created across the world. That is a significant point of difference. But you're right, online content now cuts across all other media. Online measurement is very, very complex, and that's why PAMCO chooses to integrate UCOM data into its cross-platform measurement to give a view of printed media consumption across print and online. Now, if you look at the other JICs, the BARB stakeholders have been pretty clear that they are going to keep their measurement to current broadcasters, and they've been very clear why. But there is a great deal of video content consumed online outside of those broadcasters that needs measuring, and that's why YouTube, being measured by a UCOM endorsed product, Videometric Multiplatform, is so significant. There's no sign of any other industry standard measurement for YouTube, and it took a good 18 months to get the product and the work with YouTube to the point whereby the data was robust enough, and there was enough independent verification that the data passback they were giving Comscore gave a clear enough picture. So that's TV. I think radio is an interesting one, particularly because online audio continues to grow significantly, and the trading platform DAX seems very successful, but it's entirely separate and free from the rigors of radar. That doesn't seem to be an issue. It doesn't seem to bother anybody in the market now, but who knows as that goes forward.
I think going forward, from what you're saying, it sounds like if the radio and the TV industries do hit a point where they want to open up the definition of what they're measuring. So, you know, if BARB became more of a video JIC and RAJAR became more of an audio JIC and was looking towards streaming services to be part of the measurement, then a PAMCO model might well be something that could apply, and the conversation would be useful to have. At the moment, as you say, they're very focused on, you know, their definition of broadcast related content, but if that changes, then you could see it wrong.
It is very clearly not for me as CEO of UCOM to tell other JICs what they should and shouldn't be measuring and how they should or shouldn't be going about what they do measure. But what we want to make very clear, and it's very much part of the RFP we've put out, is that UCOM wants to be as flexible as the industry needs us to be, so that at the time when it arrives that potentially the PAMCO model may extend to others, that we're in a position that whoever's supplying the data that's endorsed by UCOM can be either plugged into or aligned well enough with the other JICs data so that the gaps in the floorboards between the silos start to close a little. I think it's very clear that the need for flexibility and this realism over idealism that we talked about earlier is a very key part of that. And it was a very clear part of our RFP to say, explain how your data might be integrated, how it could feed into other data sets, and what would the steps be required to be. It's something I'm very keen that UCOM is seen as an enabler, should we be required.
Thank you for taking part in the podcast. Thanks, and we'll be watching and hoping to get a debrief when later in the year you are the proud owners of a new contractor or
2021 will be the prime owner.
But good luck with that, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much indeed.